Hello, Pittsburgh and beyond. How Yin's doing? Welcome to Yin's Are Good. I am your host, Tressa Glover. This is episode 4. I'm so glad you're here. And welcome to those of you who may be listening for the first time. I'm so glad to have you here. And as you know, this is a podcast where we're sharing the good stuff. Good stories, times of when people changed our lives for the better. And there really is no story too big or too small, so to speak. So these can be what would be might be considered small acts of kindness, right? Good deeds, for you, things you may have witnessed between other people, strangers even, anything. Let's just share all of this with each other. That's why we're here. And if you want to do so, give us a call, 1-833-399-GOOD, and leave us a voicemail, or send us an email at yinsaregood@gmail.com. It's that easy. So we do hope we'll be hearing from more of you, and we have a great episode lined up for you today. So I'm just going to get right into it.
Chase Radnor, my full name. Living in Bloomfield, right on the edge between Garfield and Bloomfield on Penn Ave. We live in a house called The Walrus, and I just wanted to share a story about how the contractors or whoever the city was replaced our lead water lines very, very efficiently. It was amazing. I think this is a contract like 2 or 3 years running, or 2 or 3 years into the future, where they're going to replace all the lead pipes in everybody's house throughout the entire city. So I don't know who the contractors are, but they did a fine job. They called us beforehand and made sure that we knew when the water was going to be off every single house on the street. But that was impressive and kind of them, because some people stink and they need to take a shower. But otherwise, I didn't even talk to one of the guys in the morning, and he was very kind. Just let me know, hey, buddy, we're going to be turning off the water, just so you know. And they were, boom, in and out within 8 hours, I would say, like 6 hours. They ripped up all of Penn Ave, dug down, replaced the line, refilled the hole, put a nice layer of asphalt on it, and now we have non-lead containing water, or at least a little bit cleaner. Still going to use a filter, but that was just how everything's going well in this city in regards to infrastructure. So, yeah, nice to talk to somebody on Yins Are Good. Cool, cool. Ciao, ciao.
I love this call. Thank you so much, Ace. I believe your first name is, but if I misheard that, it was just a little tricky to hear it, but please let me know. I love this call. And although I have to say first, so you live in a house called The Walrus. Of course, I'm curious. And I actually Googled, I was trying to find out more info because I'm not familiar with this nickname. So, hey, if you would like to call back in and explain it further, or if anyone else has heard of it, please let us all know. you would be referring to, of course, the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. So they have been all over the place replacing these lead service lines. And according to their website, they are 90% complete with their mission, which is awesome. But what is also awesome is how the workers made this situation better for you. Obviously, it's a disruptive situation, but they kept you informed. They, were there to explain what was happening and when everything would happen. And that is just really wonderful because, as we all know, that does not always happen. And having your water shut off for that kind of work to be done, of course, is very intrusive. And so, yay, Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. Thanks so much for the call. Our next story comes from Rob, and a little backstory here. So first of all, you may see us, those of us here at Yins Are Good, pop up in different outdoor venues in different neighborhoods throughout the city and the surrounding areas with our big old banner, Yinz Are Good. And this is basically to get the word out about the podcast, but also to meet people. And if you have a story, you could come up and we could record it right on the spot, or you could jot it down for us in written form right on the spot. So we're just beginning to do that, to keep your eyes peeled for the Yinz Are Good banner. And so this past week, our first stop was Mount Lebanon. And so I actually was out there with the banner, and a man approached, and we started a conversation. He asked about what Yinz Are Good was all about. And as I explained it, and we talked some more, and he said, "Wow, that's, I would love to talk about my mom." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Well, actually, I could just send you the eulogy that I wrote for her." So Rob's mom has recently passed away, and he was back in town. So originally from Mount Lebanon, is lives out of state now, but he was back in town to sell her home that had been in the family for decades. And he said, "I don't know if that's something." I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "She was such an incredible woman, and she essentially raised my sister and me on her own after my father died when I was young. And I would love to share her story with others." And I said, "I would love that too." So here, slightly edited, is Rob's eulogy for his mom. Think back for a second to when you were 13. For some of us, it's a shorter trip than others, but bear with me for a minute. You're 13, or rather, 4 days from turning 13, and you have just had your bar mitzvah. It's a beautiful spring day in Pittsburgh, and then, without warning, your world spins sickeningly out of control and completely off kilter. Your father suddenly dies. In the despair of it all, in the uncontrollable insanity of it all, there is a calm, reassuring presence in your life. That presence, that person, is able to bind you, your sister, and she together. By sheer will, that person is able to, in time, as she regained her own footing, not just right the ship, but then set it on a new course. That indomitable, elegant force was my mother. The world notes that the greatest playwright of all time, William Shakespeare, was born on April 23rd, 1564. 374 years later, it should come as no surprise that my mother was born on April 23rd, 1938. I really can't think of anyone else in the world other than my mom who should share her birthday with Shakespeare. My mom was the only child of Louis and Esther Cutler. Esther, born in Russia in 1900, married Louis in 1927. They settled together, along with Esther's mother, Sarah, who spoke no English, in a house on Black Street in the East End of Pittsburgh. My bubby Esther taught first grade at Rogers Elementary School, a point that becomes important in a few minutes. My Zaid Lewis died when my mom was only 4 years old. In many ways, my mom and I were kindred spirits. Mom was raised by my bubby Esther and her bubby, Sarah. Meanwhile, over on Chislett Street, also in the Highland Park area, the son of the sixth grade teacher at Rogers School was growing up as well. He and my mom both attended Peabody High School, graduating 3 years apart, and they both attended Pitt. Through mutual friends and a sorority sister of my mom's, they were fixed up on a date. That was in 1957. My dad was starting medical school, and my mom was about to start her junior year of college. My mom graduated from Pitt in 1959 and took her first teaching job at Alderdice. My parents married in the chapel at B'nai Israel in 1960. My dad graduated from medical school in 1961. While my mom taught in Pittsburgh, my dad finished his internship, and then, a young couple off on an adventure, my dad followed through with his deferred selective service obligation as a captain in the U.S. Air Force and as the Jewish chaplain for the base. So, the young couple lived in Mountain Home, Idaho for 2 years. After my dad's commitment was satisfied, they drove east back to Pittsburgh. In hindsight, my mom did say to me once that perhaps it wasn't the smartest move to drive across country when you're 8 months pregnant, but Stacy seems okay despite the journey. From that trip, one of my favorite mommalies, or turns of phrase that my mom liked to use, was born. In describing the scenery in the Great Plains as they drove, my mom said, "More and more of less and less." Back in Pittsburgh, they set up a life in suburbia in Mount Lebanon, first on Jonquil Place and then at 535 Sandre Drive. My parents built that house in 1966, and my mom was one of only three original owners left on the street. Sandre was a great place to grow up, and in my case, it turns out, a great place to meet my wife. But I digress. I came along in 1968, and clearly life improved for everyone when that happened. Summers visiting family, or trips to Ocean City and a family vacation to Disney World. And of course, Beth El played a prominent role in all of our lives. Our parents instilled in us a strong sense of faith. In hindsight, I now realize that a childhood in that house with the parents I was blessed to have was the gift of a lifetime. And then we come to that moment I talked about at the start, that moment when life went sideways. And yet, my mom was rock solid. She had her moments, of course, but this is a woman who took control of her own life and those of her children, and for the last 39 years has been just a breathtaking force in all our lives. I have no doubt that she could likely have gotten rivers to flow in a different direction if she needed to. My mother was a force of nature, plain and simple. She picked us up and in the process picked herself up and remade our lives and kept us all moving forward. She worked tirelessly. She focused like a laser beam on making certain her children grew up to be what she'd hoped for them, that we would become the adults she knew we could become. And to put that in perspective, in the early 1980s, they were still making sitcoms that revolved around the novelty of single mothers raising their children. My mother was not an effusive person with her emotions, but Stacy and I always knew what she felt and how she felt about us. When Stacy was accepted to SUNY Albany's PhD program, she, in her own way, told everyone she knew about it. When I graduated from Pitt Law School, she joked that night at dinner that she had every Jewish mother's dream, a child who was a doctor and a child who was a lawyer. And when we each married the loves of our lives, she beamed with pride at the weddings and at the lives we each had begun. But the greatest joy in our mother's life came not from her children, at least directly, but from our children. I think it gave her a great sense of contentment to know that the next generation would carry forward, and what she had instilled in Stacy and me was being passed on to her grandchildren as well, a sense of honesty, a sense of honor, a sense of humor, and a powerful intellectual curiosity for the world around them. In February, I was fortunate enough to receive a promotion in my law firm, and when I told my mom, she said she was not surprised. I told her that I was raised well, and that someone taught me a long time ago two pieces of advice. First, you get more flies with honey than vinegar. And second, I had been told by that person that I could accomplish anything I set my mind to doing. My mother was my cheerleader in chief, and she is the single greatest reason for any good that has come my way in my life. Look, there can be no guessing that I am Cyril Slavkin's son. I look like him, I sound like him, and I have his sense of humor. But is my sense of humor really just the Slavkin sense of humor? While my dad was the dynamic force in our childhood, my mother raised me to adulthood entirely on her own. Recently, someone said to me that I always am able to be reasoned and be pragmatic in a situation. My reaction was simple. I am my mother's son. It is our mother who was the rock-steady touchstone for us throughout our entire lives, with, it must be noted, her unique outlook and sense of humor as well. There is no way I could be the person I am today without her. She will likely always be the single most intelligent person I will ever meet. In another generation, Mom could easily have become the CEO of a Fortune 500 corporation. Of that, I have no doubt. Given recent events, it would be easy to be overcome with less than pleasant memories of my mom. Cancer has a way of trying to do that, but this family has taught cancer a lesson or two. So instead, I have a series of pictures on my cell phone to help trigger better thoughts. My parents on the beach in Miami during their honeymoon. It's a black and white picture, but I just love how happy they looked. My mother's 50th birthday party, seated at a table, surrounded by her friends, cousin Esther, and Bobby Bell. mom wearing a pink dress and truly just appearing radiant and the happiest and most relaxed I think I'd ever seen her. It's as if she's looking at the camera and saying, I'm here. I've got this. I made it this far, and I will keep going. That's my mother, quietly confident. She grew to be assured of her capabilities, able to stare at the world that's much larger than she and take it all in stride. Stacy and I owe our lives to our mother, and we will miss her more than I could ever possibly say. But more than anything, she taught us, we're here. We've got this. We've made it this far, and we will keep on going. What a beautiful tribute. Rob, thank you so much for sharing that with all of us. I do want to let you all know that the eulogy was slightly edited for our purposes here, but that the entire eulogy can be found on Rob's blog. He actually started this blog when he was going through treatment for leukemia. So the name of the blog is cancersucksrocks.blogspot.com. So thank you, Ace and Rob, for sharing your stories with us, and to the Pittsburgh Water and Sewage Authority, and to Rob's mom, thank you. Yins are good. Okay, and you may know by now what that sound means. That's right. It is time for our favorite Yins Are Good quiz, Name That Neighborhood. And I have brought on for the fourth consecutive time, Don DiGiulio. Hi, Don.
Hi, Trezza.
How are you feeling today?
I feel okay. I think I need a rebound from my poor showing in the last quiz, but other than that, I feel pretty good.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, last one was rough. The last one was rough.
Rough time. True and false had my number.
Yeah, yeah. But I believe in you.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
That.
You are most welcome. All right, let's get to it. Oh, I should tell you, your choices. That would be helpful. All right, so we have the neighborhoods represented. Ace called from Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rob, his stories regarding Mount Lebanon.
Mm.
So, Bloomfield and Mount Lebanon. All right, here we go. Question number one. Statement number one, I should say. By 1876, 10 homes, a church, a school, a general store with a post office, and two cemeteries marked the nucleus of a nascent village in a section of this neighborhood. That was a long statement.
That's a very long statement.
Would you like any of it repeated?
No, thank you. Mount Lebanon.
Mount Lebanon! You are correct! You're starting off strong. So yes, this is 1876. So this little village that had begun was actually near the Washington Road intersections of Bower Hill Road and what would go on to become Scott Road in Mount Lebanon. And that's the Mount Lebanon section of Scott Township.
Okay.
All right. One for one.
Woohoo.
Okay. German Catholic immigrants were the first Europeans to settle this neighborhood in the mid to late 1800s. German Catholic immigrants.
Bloomfield.
Oh, he's two for two, ladies and gentlemen. Bloomfield. So, yes, it's true. So, in the decades, really basically around 1868 and after, Bloomfield was actually settled by German Catholic immigrants, and they actually built St. Joseph's Church in 1886. And then, starting around 1900 or so, is when Italians, actually who were coming from five towns in the Abruzzi region in Italy, began settling in Bloomfield. And they eventually would form Immaculate Conception Church in 1905. And then the ethnic Italians grew to outnumber the Germans, thus, of course, eventually growing into its moniker, Pittsburgh's Little Italy.
Well, there you go.
Yes, absolutely. You are 2 for 2. And here we go. Baltimore Colts Hall of Fame quarterback, Pittsburgh native Johnny Unitas, returned to this neighborhood to play after being cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Bloomfield.
Whoa, you were quick on that one. You felt good about that answer, and you should. You're correct. In 1955, Unitas played one season for the semi-pro Bloomfield Rams on Dean's Field. And the Rams played there every Thursday night, and that was at the Arsenal Street School Playground. And the field, apparently, was actually made up more of dirt, rock, and glass than grass, and had to be sprayed down with oil and water to keep the dust down.
Wow.
So what would that have been like to play on, I wonder?
Not comfortable.
Not comfortable.
That's a precursor to a Thursday Night Football.
Yes! You're correct. Way back. 1955, they were doing it. Here we go. Next statement question. In the 19th century, this neighborhood was home to two local whiskey distilleries.
Mount Lebanon.
Well, look at you with your comeback. You're correct, Mount Lebanon. Yeah, so there was, let's see, the Jackson Distillery grew its water from a rock spring near what is now Cedar Lake. And then the other distillery was actually in the valley of where Cedar Boulevard now runs.
Oh.
How about that? Two distilleries right there in Lebo. Well, I'm happy for you. We have one more to go.
Okay.
This neighborhood figured prominently in Revolutionary War era accounts of Pittsburgh and Fort Pitt.
Bloomfield.
Yeah, you're right on that. It is true. 5 for 5. So yes, it's true. And actually, for example, George, and you know, he spent a lot of time in this area during that time. We have a lot of things named after him, of course. But his journal apparently described traveling from Liberty Village at the time along, quote, the high ground through a field of many blooms, end quote. Hence the name. Bloomfield.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Don't you, though? Well, I hope you're pleased with yourself. I'm pleased with you.
Well, thank you. I feel okay. I feel pretty good.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much once again for joining us.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
And speaking of Bloomfield, my family actually on my mom's side were some of those Italians from the Abruzzi region in Italy who came over and made Bloomfield their home. This would be my great-grandparents, then my grandparents, and my mom actually lived in Bloomfield until she was 8 years old. And I, over the years, have been so lucky to learn so many stories. I was very lucky growing up on that side. I had 4 great-grandparents. Through most of my, well into my childhood, my one great grandmother died at 101, just only a few years ago. So I've been more than lucky to have all of those people in my life and these stories. For example, so this the family names for some of you may be familiar or related to me, but these Italians, this would be Andreozzi, Mazzacco, and then actually also part of my family is actually from Calabria, but that would be Ferraco. They were all making their home there in Bloomfield. And my great-grandmother, Concetta, had 4 brothers who all became boxers. And they actually trained with Art Rooney. And as the story in our family goes, it was Art Rooney who suggested that they shorten their last name from Mazzacco to Marzo. So we also have some Martzos in the family that, you know, just have that different name. So, and also one of my great grandmother's sisters, Jo, Aunt Jo or Josephine, had a beauty salon there. Some of you may be familiar with it. It was called Josephine's Beauty Salon. She had it for decades and she lived upstairs. She lost her husband at the Battle of the Bulge, unfortunately, and never remarried and lived upstairs from that salon. And my mom actually remembers the phone number for that salon, Mayflower 16771. And my mom grew up, where they lived until she was 8 was houses that are still there. They've been refurbished, of course, but they were across from the Pleasure Bar, across that side street. And my mom, to give you an idea, was born in 1947. But she has, as she tells it, really fond memories of sitting out on the stoop. And even into the evening, she would sit out there as a little girl and watch people go in and out of the Pleasure Bar. And the policemen, as they would walk on their beat, one policeman in particular would always stop and talk with her in the evenings. And she thinks that that is when she started, without even realizing it, learning and memorizing all of the makes and models of all of the cars. So from a very young age, and her father was surprised by it when they would be out, and all of a sudden she'd say, "Oh," and she would say exactly the make and model of a car, this little girl, not even 8 years old. And she thinks that's when she learned it, because she would just sit on that out on that stoop for hours. So Bloomfield definitely, for me, carries so many memories, and I've been so lucky, you know, to be hearing all of those stories over the years. And so I welcome you all as well. Obviously, we're collecting stories of good and of kindness and of good deeds, how we're all helping each other out. But, you know, if you want to call in and tell us a story of family, of, you know, the neighborhoods, how they were connected to your family, anything like that, you know, let's just share any of these stories and any of these memories with each other. I welcome that. And that will just about do it for us here. Episode 4 of Yins Are Good. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to hearing more of your stories, so please keep sending them on in. So until next time, be safe, be kind, be good. Thank you to Ace and Rob, and of course, Don DiGiulio, and for our fabulous artwork, thank you, Mike Rubino.